What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Anime Corner Podcast. I'm your host James, and another week, another episode. Like I mentioned last week, I'm gonna be diving into a spring anime. We're at the midpoint. I think everything is close to episode 5 or 6 for the most part, except for maybe a few. I know Demon Slayer just started, they only have one out, and My Hero I think is only like 2 episodes in maybe, but for the most part everything else is pretty much started or in the midpoint, the episode 5 or 6. But before that, there's a little bit of news, and then I'll get into my current watches besides the stuff I've been watching for seasonals. Not a ton of news, but just a few things. So for the first part, we have Code Geass Rose of the Recapture. So this is I guess a new installment in Code Geass, and it's going to be dropped in 4 acts. So act 1 drops May 10th, act 2 June 7th, act 3 July 5th, and act 4 August 2nd. Now these are Japan theatrical release dates. For fans worldwide, it'll be able to watch it on Disney Plus in late June, and it'll consist of 12 episodes. So for us, instead of theatrical releases, it'll just be another 12 episode anime. So I don't know what it's about or anything. It doesn't give information, it just gave the release dates for now. I don't know where we go with Code Geass at this point. I know there's been other things that came out after the finish of season 1 and 2 of Lelouch's Rebellion, but I haven't dipped into that, so I don't know if at least off of those OVAs and or whatever else that was part of it. But Code Geass, man, so y'all getting a new installment. Happy for y'all. I don't know what it's about. Maybe I should watch the other things that came out after the first 2 seasons to see if this kind of like is going off of that, or if it's just like something else. Don't know. But there's that. Let's see. Look Back will be 1 hour and 1 minute long. You know, the Look Back, Fujimoto's upcoming movie. I'm excited for it. It released in Japan on June 28th. When we get it in the States, I do not know. But if you don't know what Look Back it is, the synopsis is a fourth grader, Ayumi Fujino, regularly draws 4-panel manga for her school newspaper and is lauded as having the best artwork in her class. One day, she is asked by her teacher to turn over one of her manga slots in the school newspaper to try a student named Kimoto. When Kiyomoto manga pops up alongside Fujino's, it receives high praise for its detailed artwork, making Fujino furiously jealous. Refusing to be beaten by someone who barely attends school, Fujino devotes herself to learning to create manga. As time goes on, though, her goal of outshining Kiyomoto seems to only get further away, and Fujino, now in 6th grade, eventually gives up and quits making manga. Graduation day arrives, and Fujino is asked to deliver Kiyomoto's graduation certificate to her. Through chance, the two end up coming face to face, and the unexpected meeting will end up having consequences far beyond what either of them could ever predict. For me, this is one of my favorite works from Fujimoto. Is this, and then Goodbye Eri, and then this one, that are probably some of my favorite works. And besides, you know, Chainsaw Man, Fire Punch, and all the other stuff that he's wrote, but his one shots have been some of my favorite work that he's done. So I'm excited for it. I don't know when we're getting it here, but I'm excited whenever it shows up. But get ready for that, everybody, once it comes around. Like I said, Demon Slayer started. There's one episode out. I think it's slated for like 12 episodes, maybe less. I know that it wasn't a lot. And the first episode is a 1 hour special. Like I said, not a lot. I just saw it's 8 episodes. So I don't know. I don't remember this arc too much, just because I read this years ago, so I forgot how long in chapters it was, but I guess it wasn't too long since there's only 8 episodes, and then the first episode is an hour long, but who knows. High School DxD fans, be excited, y'all getting a season 5. I remember trying to watch High School DxD when I first kind of got back into watching anime, and I watched 2 episodes and I was done. It's not for me, not my cup of tea, but for people that enjoy it, you're getting the season 5, which is, I don't know how long it's been. I know it's been a few years, but kudos y'all. Happy whatever day. I don't know, but High School DxD coming back. Oh man. And then of course, Your Name's producer pay 20 underage girls for sexual favors. His name's hard to say, but it's Koichiro Itoyo admits to having paid at least 20 underage girls on social media for sexual favors, which one of the most recent cases involved a 17-year-old high school girl from Yokohama. Investigators believe that Ito knew the age of the 17-year-old high school girl when he paid her for 30,000 yen for sexual intercourse at his own residence back in 2023 of December. He was previously charged for paying a 15-year-old girl he met in 2023 on social media to participate in obscene acts, including sexual intercourse. The police says he has admitted to the charge, and the report suggests Ito met the minor last summer and paid her over 130 USD each time to perform obscene acts for over the course of 2 years. This is a sick man. 'Cause he 52 years old doing this shit. Grow up. Like, come on, man. What the hell are you doing? I hate seeing shit like that. It's just, why? Just, you know it's not right. You're paying them to do this. They're young. So, I don't know. People are fucking sick. But he is getting charged for all of it. I don't know how long he's going away or what's happened, but that's the latest news on that. And other news, Naruto is the most popular kids TV show in the world, even beating Cocomelon. Top 5 most popular kids TV shows right now is Naruto, Cocomelon, Peppa Pig, Tom and Jerry, and Dragon Ball. That's crazy. Would not have thought that, but hey, it is what it is. And that's really it for the news. Nothing crazy, not a ton of it, but that's all I got for that. Current watches, so you know, I've been powering through these seasonals just for this episode and everything, so I've been watching a lot of that. Still powering through Sonya the Evil, Space Dandy. What else have I been watching? I cannot think of what else I've been watching. Lodas, I still don't know how to say that word, but I've been watching that as well through the time I have when I'm not watching seasonals or Space Dandy, which I'm almost done with Space Dandy, so then I can focus more on that. That's really it that I've been watching that I can think of off the top of my head. I've not been watching a lot. Well, I say not a lot, but other than seasonal shows, anything else has just been, I throw on Big Bang Theory just for, you know, background noise or whatever from editing and stuff like that. That's really it. I am lame. I don't do a lot. I record podcasts, I edit it, and that's about it. I watch anime when I can, but I don't watch anything else really. Well, in June I will be watching a lot of stuff with The Voice is coming back, The Bear, House of Dragons season 2. There's another live action show that was coming out that I wanted to watch, but with all that coming out, I'll be watching a lot. Oh, X-Men 97, of course I've been watching that as well. It's the last week of it, so excited to see where that goes and see how it ends. And it's already been greenlit for like a season 2. I don't know about season 3 yet, but I know season 2 for sure has been already been greenlit. So excited to see how that ends and everything. But other than that, we can go ahead and dip into some of these seasonals that I've been watching. Now, I didn't watch every seasonal. I am one man. I cannot watch that much anime, but I did watch a few. But if I missed some that y'all wanted me to talk about or something, let me know, and I'll dip into them and see what they're about. But I think I watched about 12 shows, maybe less. But we can dip into it. So we can start off with Grandpa and Grandma Become Young Again. I don't think that's the for sure title, but it's the gist of it. For this show, I don't know what I was expecting. I think I was more expecting something like kind of like a rom-com kind of thing, kind of situation. And with them turning young again, so like, you know, in the first episode, the grandpa talks about how he wished he could have taken her, you know, on a honeymoon and all this other stuff. And so I thought once they turn young again, you know, they're gonna do all this cute lovey-dovey couple stuff that they didn't get to do when they were younger, and then just, you know, grow into a relationship like that, and you know, before they get old again, just enjoy all the things in life that they didn't get to enjoy the first time around. It's not that. So they turn young again by eating this apple that this apple tree that fell down and they helped grow when they were younger, and now it has a golden apple on the tree, and they eat the apple and they turn young. So shenanigans ensues, and the shenanigans is more everybody lusting over the grandpa, and that's not what I was expecting this show was gonna go to. It, like, when the family shows up, the mom, the dad, the daughter, and everything like that, leaving the daughter's lusting over the grandpa, the mom's lusting over the grandpa, and the grandma's just like, you know, getting jealous, you know, the anime trope of how they get jealous with put it up with their pouty face and stuff like that. And this is not what I was expecting for this show to go. And they're competing in sports festivals just because they're young and they know each other so well because they've been married for so many amount of years, so they can adjust to their movements when they're running and stuff, when they're doing, I believe, three-legged race or something, and they could just adjust that because they know each other for so long. It's just a bunch of shenanigans that I did not want to see. It's not the show, the stuff that I want to see out of the show. So I'm gonna give it a few more episodes. Maybe I'll finish. I don't know if I'll finish it. We'll see. But I was expecting so much more. I mean, it's cool. It's still decent. It's just I expected something different, and that's just on me for expecting something completely different than what it is. But if you enjoy it for just what it is, you know, just shenanigans of old people being young. Because I mean, they're still old in their mindset and everything. So everything that they do, you know, they have the young bodies, but they're still old people at heart. So they just do old people things, like just going to the farmer's market or, you know, working on their farm. And it's cool for that. But at the same time, he said, I wish I could have taken her on that honeymoon and had more time to, you know, just enjoy life. But they're not enjoying life. They're just doing what they were doing before they turned young. So I'm just, what is really going on? But I don't know. If you like just, you know, shenanigans going ensuing and them just being whimsical with them being young but also old, and then, you know, all these people lusting over the grandpa, it'll be a show for you. But it's just, I it could have been so much more, but it's not. So take that with a grain of salt. And I don't know if I recommend to check it out, but it's worth to just see the first episode and you see what I'm talking about, and then you can make that decision on your own. But I'm already in it, so I'm gonna watch another episode to see where it goes. But I don't know if I'll do the whole 12, but it is what it is. On to my next show. So I didn't get to watch Bartender, but I did watch the original, and not saying it's the exact same or anything like that. It's not like a retelling. I think it's kind of like maybe how I put this, just something kind of new but with the same type of name, you know, Bartender, Drink of the Gods and everything. But from what I've heard and read, it's super chill. Like, just dude is really good at customer service and reading people to see what kind of drinks that they would like after, you know. And maybe a guy comes in having a long day at work, and he has a little conversation with him to see what kind of mood he's in, and then he can base the drink off of how that guy is feeling, and so on and so forth. And it's just like super chill, just something you can throw on and watch. And it even shows how to, you know, make some of these cocktails and stuff. So I mean, it's super chill anime. It's something that you can just, after a long day or whatever, sit down and just throw that on. I think it'd be cool once they dub it, because then you can just really just relax and just hear this dude just, you know, conversing with these customers about their days and him explaining the cocktails that he's making, which would be dope. And I believe there's also some type of you know, romantic relationship going on in here. Like I said, I didn't get to watch this one. This is just what I've read and everything, so take that with a grain of salt. But I will be tuning into it. It's just I couldn't get to it. I watched the other things as well, so excuse me, sorry. I'll do better next time. But anyway, let's see. The next thing I watched, The Mysterious Disappearances. And you know how I said last week that it's super weird. It's, I don't know, it, the first episode, the girl, I forget her name, but she used to be a writer when she was younger, and now she just doesn't write anymore because she feels like she doesn't have any solid ideas. And she finds this book, and the book that, like, it's some type of spell book, and it turns her into a kid again. And then she starts having all these, you know, creative ideas, and so she can write again and everything. But then the book is also killing her, because she's shrunk down into a small child, but at the same time her bones and everything are still, you know, this grown woman. And one of her friends, this young boy that she works with at this shop, he kind of knows what the hell's going on. And I don't know what his deal is, because I feel like he's from another world or something like that. Not too sure. Still looking at watching it, like I said. But it's like a super just... it's interesting, but I just don't know where it's going. There's this other girl named Odo that's real cool with the young boy. Oh, his name was Ren. And they keep going to this gate and they're saying, I don't have enough... I forget what it was. Not enough something to cross back over into the gate and to send her back. He's trying to send her back to, I guess, wherever they came from. I'm assuming this book is from that same place that they came from and everything. So, I mean, I'm super interested. It might not even lead to anything, but for right now, I'm interested in this development and how it's going to go. It's etchy as well, so be prepared for that. But for the most part right now, it has me intrigued of just where it's going, you know? Right now, it has a 7 on Mal, and I guess more people are like me, just intrigued of what the hell is going on with the show. I don't know if I recommend it, just because the girl... Ogawa Simiriko. Oh my goodness, I'm bad with names. But she's super like weird with the boy Ren, like kind of shooting it, you know, kind of advances at him. So I'm like, all right, you need to relax, you're a grown ass woman. But other than that, it's just I'm just interested in just where the story's going with this book and everything. So on to the next, The New Gate. Now this one I wasn't planning on watching it, but somebody suggested it to me, and this is at first it gave me like SAO vibes. So Buddy's in the game and he's going to go fight the final boss, and I thought at this point right here, this is the first episode, I thought it was basically SAO and he's fighting this boss to get out of the game. But it was actually just him trying to complete the game with all these other people online. So he beats the boss and he leaves his NPCs and everything out in the cave, and he beats the boss. And he looks into his login and everybody's, you know, logging out. The game's beat. So everybody's dipping. He's like, cool, everyone's getting out and everything. So he's about to log out. And then behind him, the door opens and he gets sucked into a new world. So, you know, isekai. I'm a fiend for isekais. So love that shit. But the world that he gets sucked into is actually the world that of the video game. But it's 500 years later. So they talk about how the high humans are the people that, you know, the gamers, how they disappeared 500 years ago, and his NPCs have all like spread around the world. They were looking for him and everything, and 500 years later he's popped back up. And you know, isekai shit, man's overpowered, he's, you know, destroying shit left and right. He's he finds one of his old comrades or NPC comrades, and it's this elf. I still don't know how to say her name. I think it's like Zini, I believe. I don't know exactly, but I am on episode 5 of this one, and I still don't know where it's going. It's just every episode so far, he's like discovering new things of what's been happening in the world over the last 500 years. The undead are like growing and getting stronger, but there hasn't been any like big bad introduced or anything yet, so I don't know exactly what's gonna happen, if you get what I'm saying. We're already 5 episodes in, like I said, and well, this is high order, like royalty that has been looking for him, because he killed this very strong undead, and when he killed it, the sword flew across the map and landed in a castle. So this girl, Rione Straw, has been looking to see who threw this sword and everything, and the Royal Empire might be the big bad for all I know, because she's searching for him, but she just wants to spar with him because he's so strong. But she doesn't know who he is, or if it's even a he or anything. She just knows that somebody's out there is hella strong. So maybe that's who's gonna be the big bad. I'm not too sure yet. We're on 5 episodes in, and there's nothing else going on besides, you know, him exploring his old stomping grounds and stuff. So I love isekai stuff like this, but that's just me. So I wouldn't recommend it unless you're just a big isekai head like I am and fantasy lover. So, but if you don't like this type of stuff, this is one you're not missing anything. It's just, you know, the run-of-the-mill isekai that we have every year. Oh, before I keep moving on, I didn't get to watch Konosuba. That's more of a binge watch for me. And in dub, I've never watched Konosuba in sub. So I'm just going to wait till that's all done. Didn't watch Demon Slayer because the episode literally just dropped, I think, Sunday. I'm not a My Hero person, so you're not going to be hearing any My Hero from me unless like somebody just really tells me I need to pick it back up, but I'm two seasons behind. But those are the ones I did not hit. Well, I forgot to hit a few more, but the big hitters for this year that everybody's going to be talking about. Oh, and Mushoku Tensei. I didn't get to watch that one either, but Mushoku Tensei is more of a binge for me as well, but that's just my thing. So on to the next, Train to the End of the World. So this is, I thought this was more of a, you know, cute girls doing cute things, but it's more of like a apocalyptic type of show. So this girl, she's not trying to get on the train, and she's like the 7,777th person that's trying to get on this train. So she gets chosen to go on, press the button to start the 7G network across, you know, Japan. You know how we have 5G and all that other stuff, so now they're out, yeah, 7G. So she's randomly chosen like that, and they want to press the button. As soon as she presses the button, the world goes to shit. Like, contortion of buildings, people just getting thrown everywhere. She presses the button again to stop everything, and you look around, and everything's just in disarray. Move on to 2 years later, and in her village, her friends are, you know, going to school and everything, and everybody in that village is turned into animals. They can talk and everything, but they're just random animals, and just because of the 7G network thing. And one of her friends, what's her name? Shizuru. She's always asking these people that bring them stuff, I forget what they're called, like the almost like FEMA people, just bringing them stuff for to survive, and see if they seen anything about her, about her friend, if she's doing okay. Her friend is named Yoka, and they haven't heard anything. They haven't seen her or any type of news about her. So one day they get these packages and everything in the newspaper. She sees her, and she's in this other town in Japan. I forget what the town was called. And there's this weird old man in their town who's just, he just be walking around just saying boo 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 boo, and just walking around, just random dude. I don't know if he's affected from what happened or what, but it's not really explained. But anyway, one night she's chasing him and everything, and gets to the train, puts the hat on Buddy's head, and he turns into a regular person. And he says he had this, the person that made 7G like operate on his head and messed him up, and now he's this blubbering fool for like ever. But if he puts on the hat, he'll have like 5 minutes of just like being back to normal stuff. And he explains to her that she needs to go find this girl and see how they can fix the 7G and probably try to send everything back to the way it was. So then she gets her friends and everything, and they take off on the train and go travel Japan. But Japan's kind of fucked because of all the 7G stuff that's happened, and it's just basically, you know, just traveling Japan. But everything's so spread out now because of what happened with the 7G thing. It takes them forever to get to places, so you know, shenanigans ensue with like their different stops and everything. They get in trouble with different people in these areas and stuff. It's super interesting. It's almost like a journey to the center of the world or something. And still, I mean, it is kind of cute girls get doing cute things, just more like Girls Last Tour. It's kind of like that. I believe I'm 5 episodes on in on this one too. I'm intrigued by it. It's just super interesting because the different monsters that they run into throughout their train ride, it's just weird of just how everything just got shifted with when this happened to this like basically second impact that happened 2 years prior. And it's just all these random people are displaced, these different animals. This one I actually recommend. It's just a super interesting show, and it's an adventure. Just don't expect like the them doing super cute things. They get into a lot of bad shit. You know what? Almost close to what is that show called? Main Abyss, but just not as gory. But that type of dread as they keep going along Japan and everything. So be prepared for that. On to the next thing. I watched The Fable, like I had said on a prior episode. So this is actually, I think this is one I'm gonna binge. It's 25 episodes, so I think it's but at the same time, it's, I don't think it's something that I can watch week to week. It's this dude, he's a you know, an assassin, and Buddy kills way too many people. So his boss sends him off to lay low for a year and be an ordinary person, and takes one of his friends, her name is Yoko as well, and he can't kill or hurt anybody for a year, just has to lay low, be a normal person, and just, you know, be a proper human and not kill anybody. And this is more a comedy, because first episode, this man already gets in a fight in a parking lot, and he's just doesn't have any type of remorse. He's just like, well, they came at me first and everything. It's he's deadpan, kind of like Saitama off of One Piece, goodness, One Punch Man. And he's just doesn't understand what he did wrong and everything. So it's pretty funny, and I don't know where I still have the high seas to watch this one. I don't know anywhere else it's streaming. It might be on High Dive, but I'm not too sure. But I recommend this one as well. But again, it's 25 episodes, so it's gonna be running for a long time. So you might like be like me and want to binge it, but it's pretty solid. I was kind of worried on how I was gonna feel about it, but it's pretty good. The animation, not animation, but the art style is kind of like just kind of weird. Not weird, but that's not a good word for it. But it looks almost close to CGI, but it's not. The way they draw their faces and everything is just super soft, and it's not off-putting or anything. It just takes a minute to like just get used to it and get in that headspace of it, but it's still not bad. The animation studio is Tezuka Productions. I've never had heard of them. We'll see what else they've done. Let's see. Well, they did Pluto, My Home Hero. That's why it feels like that. Okay, the type of art style that you see in My Home Hero, that's what you can expect for the Fable. And I was trying to put my finger on it, but I could not think of it. But now looking at it, yeah, My Home Hero is exactly what it looks like. But I still recommend it. It's still pretty funny, and it's nothing. It doesn't take itself too serious. It looks kind of like he's just a serious person on the cover, but it's basically like a one punch man type of scenario. And it's pretty funny so far, so I recommend that one. Okay, so on to the next one, Go Go Loser Ranger. So this one I watched, how many did I watch? I think I watched 3 episodes of this one. Now this one is these monsters, they invaded Earth, or they didn't even invade Earth, they just showed up on Earth years prior, and their bosses all got defeated. And so for them not to die, they made a pact with the Rangers. They're called the dragon tamers, I believe. But if they, you know, act out like invading Earth every week or so, then they wouldn't, you know, kill them. So 13 years go by and they're still doing this bit of just they're invading and they get destroyed by the Rangers and everything, just so people can have that satisfaction. Well, one monster, Monster D, what's not even Monster D, but I forget what it's called. I know his name is D, but he's tired of this shit. He's tired of them always losing, and he wants to destroy them. So he tried to infiltrate the Rangers, because they have this troop of, you know, they like basically they're going to the army, and you train to be a Ranger and everything, and then you'll replace the older Rangers once you get to that point. So he tries to infiltrate it. He gets caught by this girl. And this girl, she's like, there's no life in her eyes. Her eyes are just, it looks like she just doesn't care about nothing. Her name is Yumeko. And immediately catches on to who he is and everything. But she says, I'll help you destroy the Rangers. But we got to do it my way so you don't get caught. So I don't know what her deal is. You manga readers might know. I don't read the manga on this one. But so they're going to try to destroy the Rangers from within. And so far I'm intrigued, just because I want to know what her deal is. And her other friend Hibiki finds out that she's gonna help him, you know, Monster D, I'm just gonna keep calling Monster D, to destroy the Rangers. And he tries to convince Monster D, like, hey, don't do it, they're gonna destroy you. And, you know, what's it called, he's actually trying to be a ranger, and he's just trying to tell him to just not do it, because he actually likes the dude, thinks he's cool, but he thinks that the Rangers are too powerful. and he's also trying to be a ranger. So, and then they make this pact, basically they're rivals now, and dude's gonna try to destroy it, but he's gonna become a ranger and try to stop him, whatever. But these rangers are not good people. From what I'm seeing, red ranger's an ass. Blue ranger's a psychopath. I think his face is all scarred up, like he's been through some shit, so I know these people are crazy. But oh, his name is Monster D. Oh, spot on with that. Anyway, I'm excited to see where this goes. I've heard good things of the manga when this was first coming out. I just never had the chance to pick it up and actually check it out myself. But maybe I will now, because I think this is only 4 episodes in or so. But I'm intrigued. If you don't like the, you know, Power Rangers type of power set, the Sentai kind of things, I don't recommend it. But if you have a problem with it and you love that shit, check this out. It's super interesting, and I'm more interested in the girl, Yumeko, just because I want to know why she's trying to help him to do this. And I know it's not gonna be explained right off the top, but that's what I'm more interested in than anything, and how they're gonna do it. So go Loser Ranger. On to the next. Jellyfish can't swim at night. So this one I just happened to pick up on a whim. It's an original work, no manga, no nothing, and it reminds me a lot, well, at first, but it reminded me a lot of your boy Kong Ming. And you know that one, it was this star, well, not even a star, but this girl trying to, you know, become a singer and a star. And this one's actually like this artist, she's great at painting and everything, but she has no confidence in herself, because the last time she painted like a big mural, her friends walked past and is like, who painted this, and made fun of her. So she, you know, her confidence is shot, and then she runs into this former idol who has a troubled past. She ended up punching one of her idol mates, and you know, got discredited and everything, and she left the idol group. So she's changed her hair, and her singing, well, how she sings, that's a good way to put it, and calls herself Jelly. And she's portraying everywhere, like on YouTube and everything, of this jellyfish picture, and she sings like her music that she's written and everything and stuff. And she wants the artist Mahito, yeah, to, you know, do her art for, you know, her albums and her YouTube pages and stuff. But she's super not confident in her work, so she kind of struggles trying to do it. And finally, she comes down to that she'll actually do it. I'm 3 episodes into this one, or 4. They ran into another girl. Her name's May. She has a long name, so I'm gonna call her May. And she's super obsessed with Kano, the idol. And she recognized her singing voice and everything on YouTube, even though she's changed her hair and her style than before. Changed her style to way different than what she wasn't then, when she was an idol, but she still caught on to that she is the Kano of the idol group. Turns out she's a great pianist, and she's done different arrangements with Kano's music that she's put on YouTube. So I'm at that point where they're trying to get her to, you know, do the arrangements and everything for her music, and, you know, I guess be a producer basically. So far so good. I'm interested. The animation, the artwork, even the camera work is just crazy. I don't even know who's doing this right now. Doga Kobo. I don't know this animation studio, but they're putting their foot in it right now with the animation and the art. I really like it. It pops a lot, but not too much. It looks kind of like almost pastel colors with the artwork and everything that goes into Mahito's drawings and stuff. So I'm really intrigued where this goes. I'm excited to keep watching it. I was gonna watch all 5 or 6 episodes that was on it, but you know, got other things to watch, so I'm ready to jump back into that. So go check out Jellyfish Can't Swim in the Night. On to the next, Windbreaker. Now, like I said last week, I think it's a better show than Tokyo Revengers, just in the aspect of delinquents, you know. So this delinquent, he goes to a new school because he wants to be the strongest, you know, delinquent, and fight everybody. But at his old school, he also got made fun of because of his hair. So on his hair, one side is white, one side is black, and his eyes are two different colors. I forget what that condition is called, but he got made fun of at an early age, and then he became this delinquent because he thought nobody really was gonna mess with him, so he might as well just beat everybody's ass, you know. So he goes to this new school because he hears how they have this, you know, the best delinquents or something. I don't even know how you find this on like a delinquent webpage or something, but anyway, he goes to this school, and as he's going, he's walking down the block of this this area, and sees this other delinquent group like messing with these people. And the high school they're going to is called Farron High School, and apparently this high school is, they're delinquents, but they protect their community from other delinquents that are breaking into these stores or beating up these people or stealing their money and stuff. So they're just there to protect the community. He is there just to be the strongest, but he's going to the school where they're all, you know, a community, and just are there to protect. So he's trying to get over his, you know, his trauma of being made fun of, being like outcasted because of the way he looks, to this group that's so inviting of him just to be himself. They don't care about his hair or eyes, they think it's cool as shit. And just to, you know, help them protect this community from these other actual delinquent groups that are causing this mess in this area, because they said, I think it was like 2 years prior or so, this area was just messed up because of all these other, you know, turf wars and other groups that are just robbing people and hurting people. And then this high school of delinquents finally stepped in and started helping them, and it's just like just him growing and accepting himself for who he is and how he looks, and being in this group of delinquents to protect this community. And it's pretty cool. Like I like that aspect of it, of just, we're just back to hands of delinquency and him trying to grow as a person to, you know, heal from his trauma, be this other person that's gonna be a part of this community in this group while he goes to this high school. So I'm really enjoying this one. That's why I say it's kind of the better delinquents show than Tokyo Revengers, just because Tokyo Revengers, their fight scenes, it was a lot of, you know, cut scenes or like slideshow kind of stuff, and this one they're throwing hands, they getting it in on this show. So I'm really liking it. I'm not saying Tokyo Revengers is trash, I'm just saying this is just a better type of delinquent show, and it's done by CloverWorks, so you know they be getting down with their shows. So on to the next. Now I didn't get to watch this one, but you know I read a few things on it. Viral Hit, and it's basically this dude, he's going around on their version of YouTube, and he's beating up bullies, and he's growing his platform, beating up bullies and everything. And so after he gets a following, he just starts going to different places and challenging bullies across it, everything, and whooping their ass on YouTube. I know there's probably more to it, but I couldn't get to this one. It's a manhwa, so it's a Korean manhwa, but I haven't heard really anybody talk about it as of right now, but maybe I'll tap into it this weekend and give you a little update on it next week. But that's just a little synopsis of it, but I could not get to that one this week. On to the next, Unnamed Mystery. So Unnamed Mystery, it's another fantasy show that I fell into. I wasn't even, well, I say that, but my Spring Fling episode, I said I was probably gonna watch this one, but after watching everything else, I didn't think I was gonna be able to get to it, so I did. And so far so good. So dude is the prince of, you know, his kingdom and everything, but him and his dad got cursed set on them by this witch, so they can't have a child. So they said basically, like, if he has sex with any type of woman or anything, basically kills them. Like, he got super sperm and just it'll immediately kill them. So he's traveling the world trying to get rid of his curse, so, you know, you can have the bloodline, because the years prior, his cousins and everybody got snatched up for some reason, disappeared. So he's the last line of his lineage. It's his dad and him, and neither one of them can procreate to pass the line down. So he's traveling trying to find out, like, get rid of this curse, and he runs into this witch, and she's the witch of the Azir Moon. And he's asking her, can she like break the curse, and she's like, I can, but it's so complex that it's gonna take me a little bit. But she's like, what if I just found you someone that could handle your sperm, so that you can have this child? And she's does a little magic ball thing. She's looking to see if she can find anybody. And he's sitting there thinking, "I like, what about you? Would you be able to handle that type of curse?" She's like, "Oh yeah, for sure." She's like, "Well, all right, then bet, marry me." And she's like, wait, no, this is not how it's gonna work." He's like, "No, come on, marry me." And she's like, "No, okay." And he's like, "All right, I'll give you a proposition. Come stay at the castle with me for a year and work on looking for, to break the curse. But within that year, if you end up, you know, liking me or whatever, let's get married." And she agrees to it. So she moves to the castle and shenanigans ensue. He's always asking her to marry him, but she's like a 2,000-year-old witch. But she has some type of spell where it keeps her young. And they're still trying to figure out how to get rid of the curse. And all these witches know each other, because there's another witch. The Witch of Silence is the one that passed the curse on to the king and the prince. Nobody knows why, though. So that's still a mystery of why she even did this. I feel like it's something that the dad did, but I don't know. And they run into another witch that's the Witch of the Forest. And she's more interested in Tinashe's shenanigans, because she never leaves her castle. And Tinashe is the Witch of the Azir Moon. She's been in this tower for years and years and then never left, and now she leaves. So she's more interested in what she's trying to do. And then Tinashe has somebody that's actually looking for her from her past. So I don't want to get too much more into it. I think this is 6 episodes in. This one I actually recommend. It's super interesting so far. It's a 7.1 on MAL right now. And, you know, it's probably going to be romance. It's fantasy. I love fantasy stuff, so I'm in. But if y'all want some type of romance, you know, y'all shipping these two, I don't blame y'all. Check it out. On to the next. So, Remonster. Now, Remonster, I think I said last week I was enjoying it. This show reminded me a lot of, like, Reincarnated as a Slime. It's just a goblin this time, because everything he eats, he gains their powers and grows stronger as a goblin. But it changed up on me episode 4 or 5. I can't remember which one it is. And now this dude just has a harem of women, and they're just having sex with all these women in their cave. And this is not what I was expecting going into the show. I was just like, okay, another isekai type of show. And it was kind of like, you know, slime, and he's growing stronger, making the goblins stronger, and they're gonna go, you know, fight the humans if need be. But now it's just like a sexapade of just this dude having a harem in his castle with all these, or not even castle, his cave, and just sleeping with all these women. And okay, cool, whatever, but let's get into some fighting and stuff. I don't need this harem type of isekai with the goblins and everything. It's not what I was looking for in the show. And like I said, the first 3 or 4 episodes were cool. Just he's getting power, he's growing as a goblin, cool, yeah, let's do that. And now it's just more of him, every fucking thing is just he puts up a veil, whatever, and he's having sex with like 7-8 women, including goblins and human women. Just I don't know, it's I'm hoping that it changes back to like the first few episodes where he's just growing and getting stronger. But I was so high on it at first, and now I'm just whatever. It's one of those shows. But because the first 2 or 3 episodes that was out, it was at an 8, and now I think it dropped to like a 6, because I don't think people are feeling that stuff either. That's not what they're looking for and signing up for. Let me see real quick though. Yeah, it dropped to a 6.8, and I believe it was at an 8 at one point. That's a big drop from what it started with, and yeah, I'm kind of over that as well. Spice and Wolf, I did not get to. I'm sorry, guys. That's one of the ones I really wanted to get to, but I ran out of time, so maybe I'll give you an update next week. So for my last one, Kaiju number 8. Now this one is probably gonna be my favorite one besides the isekai stuff, my favorite one for the year. If you haven't read the manga, Kaiju number 8 is it's been like blown up ever since it dropped back in like, what was that, 2018? Let me get all my facts straight before I dive into it. It was back in 2020. Oh, I was all right off. But it's just been super popular on Shonen Jump, and people were more kind of concerned of how they would like adapt it from the manga to the anime, because of, I mean, it's kaijus everywhere, so it's kind of hard, you know, to draw those 2D monsters every episode or so. But so far so good. I know some people don't like some of the animation and the art style for some of the people, but I don't see a problem with it. I don't need the anime to be like completely the same as the manga. If you need to make a few changes to make it work, that's cool. But like the way Kafka's kaiju form is in the anime, the manga is more like sleek and skinny, but in the anime he's kind of more bulkier and more, it's always been turquoise like on the lines of his body when he turns into a kaiju, and it's more like super bright. I don't have a problem with it. It's just a little different than what it was in the manga, but so far so good with it. Really, really enjoying seeing this and animated and actually seeing him move. And I like the story when it's actually an adult cast. This man's 32 years old, going through this kaiju world and everything. Because I mean, I get like most people, you know, Naruto, Bleach and stuff, they're kids and they're doing their thing. But you know, it's nice to see an adult doing these type of things and going through these triumphs and even like, what's it called, getting beat down and working his way back up and stuff. It's nice to see it from a different view of an older person. So really liking it. I'll give you the synopsis. I'm over here just glowing about it, but I'm not giving you anything. So after the destruction of their hometown, childhood friends Kafka, Hibino, and Mina Ashiro make a pact to become officers in the Defense Force, a military organization tasked with protecting Japan from colossal monsters known as kaiju. Decades later, the 32-year-old Kafka has all but given up on his dreams of heroism. Instead, he cleans up the remains of slaughtered kaiju after they are defeated by valiant soldiers, including Mina, who has successfully achieved their shared goal. Upon meeting his new co-worker, Rino Ichikawa, Kafka faces a mirror of his past self, an ambitious young man whose one desire is to fight as a member of the Defense Force. Unfortunately, the two are soon involved in a freak encounter with a rogue kaiju. Though Kafka demonstrates his innate heroic nature and rescues Rino from certain doom, he is left gravely injured. Excuse me. While both men recover in the hospital, Kafka is seemingly attacked by another one of the beasts. As a result, he gains the ability to transform into a humanoid kaiju with the strength and power of the massive monster menacing Japan. Dubbed Kaiju Number 8 by the military, Kafka resolves to use his newfound gifts for the greater good. Tied together by mutual respect, Kafka and Rino set out to join the warriors like Mina on the forefront of the Defense Force. And that's Kaiju Number 8 so far. I think it's 6 episodes right now and it's scheduled for 12. And another thing that's so random. So the opening thing is by Youngblood and the ending thing was by One Republic. Didn't expect that to happen. That's so random, but I'm not bad at it. Do what you want. Hey, put your foot in the anime OP world. That's cool. It's just super random for Youngblood and One Republic. So Kaiju Number 8, this is the one I really, really recommend. It's an 8.26 on MAL right now, and it's going crazy. Even the manga right now is still, what's it called, really, really blown up. I think right now they're in the middle of a war. I think it's close to being over, but I'm not too sure. But check it out. It's production IG, so they're doing really well with it, I think. So I recommend Kaiju Number 8. Let me give you the top 5 that I recommend. So for let's see, runners up, of course, yeah, go ahead and do Demon Slayer Konosuba and Mushoku Tensei. And of course, I didn't even mention Slime Season 3, but whatever, if you want to watch Slime. but number 5, I recommend Windbreaker. 4, The New Gate. 3, Go Loser Ranger. Number 2, Unnamed Memory. Oh, I'm going to share that one with Unnamed Memory and Bartender. Scratch that. And it's harder than I thought. I'm gonna do at number 3, Jellyfish Can't Swim in the Night. And then number 2... Let's go with Unnamed Memory, and number one, Kaiju number 8. Dang, and my Spring Fling, I talked about the Yosakura family, and I didn't even get a chance to watch that one either. Mission Yosakura family. Man. Oh, well. If y'all are watching that, let me know. Right now, it's a 7.28 on Mal. Also, the schedule for 27 episodes. I got time to watch this, but I didn't get to watch that one either, so my apologies. Like I said, I am one man. I am one person. This is a one person podcast. I cannot watch, you know, 30 different shows. I gave y'all, what, 12 or so? I didn't count them. But maybe next time. I don't know. But that's all I'm watching right now with the spring. Nothing I've really dropped as of yet. Like I said, grandma and grandpa, I don't know. We'll see. Reed Monster, if he keeps going on the same trajectory of just, you know, harems and stuff, I might drop that one as well. But right now, we're cruising. I'm enjoying everything for what it is, for the most part at least. And yeah, so thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for always tuning in every week. I appreciate y'all just to check out my podcast. I know it's just me, so I'm glad to have y'all coming in and just checking me out. Like, share with everybody. Let's keep growing the podcast. Let's keep pushing it out there. Share it with your friends, whoever. I much appreciate it. Check out my IG, check out TikTok, and yeah, I think that's gonna be it. I've been James. This has been Anime Corner for another week, and I will catch y'all next time. Peace.